So I've just got a number of short readings. The first few are just found in the Gospel of Luke. They're just sort of like a couple of verses here and there. But the first is found in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2. Luke's Gospel chapter 2, and I'm just reading from verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Then over to Luke chapter 24, at the end of the Gospel. Just a couple of verses there. Chapter 24, verse 50. And he, that's the Lord Jesus, led them out as far as Bethany, and he was lifted up. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Then in the book of Acts, please, and chapter 7. Just picking up where Stephen was speaking to the people. The book of Acts chapter 7. I'm reading from verse 54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And he cried out with a loud voice and stopped. And then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then finally, in the book of Timothy, the second book of Timothy, and just a couple of verses there, Second Timothy chapter 4, and just reading, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Perhaps we could just take a few minutes just to sing one more hymn. Number 223, hymn number 223. No room in the inn for the Saviour was found, who from childhood was treated with scorn. No place but the manger where cattle were brought, when in Bethlehem Jesus was born. No home but the mountain on olives was his, but the birds of the air had their nest. No love but the father's whose side he had left could give him refreshment and rest. Perhaps we could just sing the first four verses of number 223.
No room in the inn for the Saviour was found, who from childhood was treated with scorn. The place where the manger went out were brought, when in Bethlehem Jesus was born.
I suppose one of the things which kind of universally just about everybody says is, I can't believe that we've done another circuit of the year and we're back to Christmas again. I mean, that so many people said that this year, and it just seemed to be a year that had kind of whizzed by. Maybe if you're small, it doesn't feel like that, but maybe it's just a sign of getting old, but that's really how I felt. It doesn't feel very long ago at all when I was kind of stood on this platform for the same meeting a year ago. I kind of woke up really early on Christmas morning, and I turned the radio on and was just, I mean, as I anticipated, it's kind of wall-to-wall, every single thing that's on is talking about Christmas. And I just thought to myself, in about 6 hours, there'll be nothing mentioned it, because it will be past and it'll be gone and be out of everyone's mind. Even though, you know, there's even maybe a mildly sort of religious context to what is on the radio, there is no memory and no concern for those tremendous facts that actually are supposed to be the reason why we are thinking about this particular time of year. It must have been a recorded interview, but they were just talking. They spoke to Raymond Briggs, who you might recall is the man who wrote The Snowman, which you know that may not mean anything to you, but if you look just about in any stationery shop in Britain, you will see the snowman in some form or another, who comes from that little film which he produced from his, that was produced from his little story about the snowman. And as they said to him, he'd kind of cornered the market on Christmas, certainly for snowmen. And a little, very simple story is extremely well known and apparently is played on television just about every year since. I didn't check to see if it was this year. But they would just speak to him. And the thing that kind of caught my attention was, because I'd always kind of just generally thought of it as being sort of a happy little children's story, was that they said to him, why did his stories always have a sad ending? And I thought, I wonder what... And then I realised from what he said, what they were driving at, was that at the end of this little adventure that the story depicts, the snowman melts away. And his answer was this, his voice is nothing like the upbeat little voice that narrates the story on the little film that they show on television. His answer was this, because everything dies in the end. And that really struck me, that really, for something which, you know, is aimed at the young, and which portrays kind of a very sort of happy, sort of jolly Christmas atmosphere, that in the mind of this man, that at the stark and driving reality is that it all finishes. And that which seems so bright and cheerful comes to a very rapid end. And I was just thinking on those, around these thoughts, and I just, for a few minutes, just to mention a couple of things I've been thinking about, was the fact that, you know, in life, for each and every one of us, there is a chapter one. There's a chapter one where it starts. And I was trying to think of the people in the Bible for whom we are given a chapter one. You know, certainly when you get to the New Testament, it's actually not that very many. There's not that many where you get much information about chapter one. For each and every one of us, we all have our own chapter one, where life starts and life begins. I would guess for the most part that it's a moment of sort of joy and optimism and hope for the future, really. And in those early years, you kind of, it just feels as though life is just going to go on and on. And that the sort of realities, even if you are kind of slightly aware of them, they probably won't apply to you. And it's going to be okay. But that's chapter one. But I was thinking about it, of course, that for each and every one of us, there is a final chapter as well. And that's just as applies to everybody as the fact that there will be a chapter one, there's going to be a last chapter. And it made me think a little bit about the people in the Bible of whom we have some information. And when it gives us a little bit about their last chapter, And you know, as we read first, and we read about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we read there, and very clearly this is someone who we have a very clear record of when he came into the world, and we have that chapter 1 of him coming into the world, and to that manger, and to that bed, and to that lowly beginning, and to the place in the outside place, and the place where there was no room for him, and not to be recognised, and not to be truly appreciated, even though heaven announced his arrival, that it made hardly a ripple on the surface of the pond of earth, as it were, when the mighty God stepped into time, and the Lord Jesus came there, and of his journey through earth upon earth, we have is chapter 1 of his coming to Bethlehem. But it made me think that for him also, we have, for his time on earth, we have that last chapter, that he's having passed through. There comes a point when he's received up into heaven. And that one who's been down here is the one who's now in the very presence of God. And we read about that man Stephen. Now, we don't know about his chapter 1. We don't know an awful lot about him, but we know something about the last chapter of the time that he was on earth. And this man who knew the Lord Jesus Christ and was a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ was the first person who lost his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he looks up to heaven, he sees that man who was down here, who was in the manger, who went to heaven, and as a Stephen, and as his final chapter has been written, he looks up and he sees that man who was down here, who's now up there. And the wonderful thing is that for Stephen, his expectation was that he was going there. That even though everyone else, as it would seem, had turned against him, although they're rushing upon him with stones, he could look, and he looks up, and his expectation that he's going to be with that Saviour who's been down here, who's passed through this scene, and Stephen's full joy and expectation is that he's going to be with that man up there. And so what a glorious final chapter that was for him. You know, that may not be a way that any one of us would want to write our final chapter. But for this man, the joy and the hope for him was that he was going to see that man, that Saviour, who's now in heaven. And as he's there, and as the stones are raining down upon him, we read that there was another man standing. We read there about the mention, this man called Saul, and he witnesses. He witnesses the end of Stephen. and he witnesses this man whose life is given up as a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man, he witnesses it. And you know, we read just finally there, we read something from the final chapter of this man Saul, who was to become Paul. And as he's writing 2 Timothy, he's starting to write the lines which will lead up to his final chapter. And we find that this man who stood and consented to the death of one man, we find that this man, he's got a hope that he's going to see that glorious man who's in heaven as well. Now I just want you to consider, just think about this for a minute tonight. You have a chapter 1, and you have a last chapter. We can't get away from it. It's not being morbid. It's not even being particularly gloomy. It's just kind of being real. And if we're just real about it, we just have to accept the fact. We have a first chapter. And you may be able to tell me something about chapter 1. And about how life's begun and how things have gone. And whether you've been successful or not. And how life has progressed. And how many chapters there might be in between. But let me just ask you tonight. What about the last chapter? When's that going to start being penned for you? And if it was that it was starting being penned tonight, would you in there be able to write in your last chapter that your hope and expectation is to see that Saviour who was down here, who's gone up there. And would that be something that you could put into your last chapter? Because if you can't, you're not ready to start writing that chapter. And unfortunately, the reality is, we don't have a lot of choice about when that starts getting written. So how can you be ready for the last chapter? That's an all-important question, which is actually relevant for even the year. Because it applies to us all. Because that can just start getting penned at any moment. Those lines can start being added to the page at any time in life. And you're ready for the last chapter to be written. Because you know, if we read there about that one who started at Bethlehem, and the one who finished his time on earth there on the mountain, ascending to heaven. But what we missed was, we could have just read, and I'll just read it now, just one more verse in the Gospel of Luke. And it's found in chapter 23 and verse 33. And it reads like this: "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him." There they crucified him. And the one who came to Bethlehem, and the one who's at the right hand of God, is the one that they drove nails into on Calvary's cross. And you would say, well, what's that got to do with my chapter? That's got everything to do with your chapter. Because if the one who started at Calvary had just gone straight back to heaven, it would have been no benefit to your last chapter whatever at all. But the tremendous thing is that he came to Bethlehem in all the loneliness and walked through this scene. But more than that, he went to the cross. And he died there for your sin. And you know, that means that for you, your last chapter, whenever that's going to start, can be full of certainty and hope. And can be focused on a man who's at God's right hand. He's just waiting for you, like he's waiting for Stephen. Because he went to the cross and he died for you. That you could be saved. That you could have certainty. That you could know where you're going. That you could face life with hope and with joy. And face reality and look reality in the face. And know that you know God. And so the one who's been down here and been to the cross is the one that you need. The one that you need when the last chapter of life has just been written for you. Just to know him. Just to know him as your saviour. To know him in reality as the one who's died for you. Who's given you life. Who's given you hope. Who's given you joy. And to give you a certainty of heaven. That's the one we need to know when we write in the last chapter. And so tonight, I don't want to draw out the time. We're just a few. It's just a few days before the new year. It's that dark, those dark nights when everyone just wants to get home and put their feet up and have a rest after all the exhaustion. But just remember this. Just remember this. If you haven't got a saviour, you're not ready for 2025. You're not actually even ready for the 30th of December. You need a saviour. You need to know the one who's been here, who's been to the cross, and who's now in heaven. And you need him. You need him as your saviour. You need to realise that my sin stands between God, but God's done everything to make that right, to put that right, and I can be saved, and I can have hope, and I can know, and I can know that I'll see God.